was watching television the other night. It was the news that was on, and someone pointed out, hey, there's that story. I looked, and I only caught it out of the corner of my eye. I wasn't really paying attention. There is St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay on television, and underneath him talking, he was saying something. There was one of those little graphics that said, Mayor Cursed. And that caught my eye. I didn't give it a second thought, though I was busy and in the middle of something. And then I read in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, maybe you saw this as well, the headline reads, School Board Member Calls Mayor Cursed. Now, this first hour of Open Lines, Issues, etc., is for your questions and your comments, but we're going to start out by hearing an interview that we did yesterday with the woman who wrote an open letter from the St. Louis School Board. As a member there, she wrote it to the mayor and everyone who helps him, as she says, putting them under a divine curse. And I'll read the letter for you here in just a moment for those of you who haven't had opportunity to hear about this story. That's the first hour of Issues, Etc. We'll get your reaction to that interview in just a few minutes after we hear it. In the second hour of the program, Bruce Mason joins us with a live report from Minneapolis, the site of the General Convention of the Episcopal Church USA. He is media officer for the American Anglican Council. You've been hearing about them. They're one of the biggest reform groups within the Episcopal Church USA. We'll find out what happened yesterday at this General Convention on the heels of the approval of the first openly gay bishop. There's some more news out there. We'll find out what it is. We'll take more of your phone calls after we talk with Bruce Mason, and we'll round off the second hour of the program talking with Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And we'll get his reaction to what's going on in the Episcopal Church and their approval of an openly gay bishop. In the third hour of the program, Craig Hawkins joins us. You saw Time Magazine, the cover story from the August 4th edition, The Science of Meditation. We'll be talking about meditation with Craig from the Apologetics Information Ministry in the third hour of Issues, Etc. Now, here are the facts surrounding this open letter from Rochelle Moore to Mayor Francis Slay. There are two things that prompted this letter, and we'll find out from her a little bit more in this interview in just a moment. Basically, Moore's objections stem from the fact that the board, the school board there, the St. Louis Public School Board, hired a private management firm which has called for the closing of 16 schools in the St. Louis area and the elimination of more than 1,400 jobs to ease a cash flow problem among St. Louis public schools. In addition to that, Ms. Moore alleges that on October the 21st, someone dosed her coffee with cocaine, and she had to be taken to Barnes Jewish Hospital on the 22nd and was later committed to a psychiatric unit. She says that she was drugged, and we'll find out more from her when we hear from her in just a moment. Now, yesterday, I had an opportunity to interview her, and for those of you who haven't read this open letter, here it is. This is a letter to all media outlets and to Francis Slay, mayor of the city of St. Louis, an open letter, by the way. It reads, because of the opposition you have taken against St. Louis Public Schools and your actions last October 2002, you are cursed with a curse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed Francis Slay and all those who help him already. Cursed shall be thou in the city, cursed shall be thou in the field, cursed shall thy be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. That's just the first paragraph. It goes on. The Lord shall send upon Francis Slay and anyone who helps him cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand to do until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto Francis Slay and anyone who helps him until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite Francis Slay and anyone who helps him with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and the angel of the Lord shall pursue Francis Slay until he perishes. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. This open letter concludes as follows. The Lord shall cause Francis Slay and all those who help him to be smited before thine enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed from all the kingdoms of the earth. Consume Francis Slay and all those who help him in wrath. Consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. In the name and the power and the blood and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so it is, so it shall be. Signed, Rochelle Moore. Now, I had opportunity yesterday to interview Rochelle Moore. She is a member of the St. Louis Public School Board and author of this open letter to Mayor Slay that details an alleged curse from God. I began by asking Ms. Moore, what were the reasons for this open letter to Mayor Francis Slay?
Well, when I looked at examples in the Bible of how people dealt with conflict or how people dealt with battles, I looked at Moses and I looked at the Bible in Deuteronomy in terms of what God said, what happened to people, and for the consequences of their actions. And I also looked at David and how David dealt with Saul and his obstacles he had before him. So that's what prompted me, and that's why I chose to pray that prayer. And the reason why I made it public is because I wanted everyone to know my position on the matter, that I believe in prayer is the best way to start any issue or any endeavor. And I believe that's the best way to handle, you know, challenges. And the reason why I made it so public is because of his actions that he's taken against the school district to harm children. He has no authority over St. Louis Public Schools. He's elected to run the city, not the city and St. Louis Public Schools. And he's trying to control two budgets. He's trying to undermine the authority of board members who make decisions about the budget. He's interfering with the education of 41,000 children and placing those children in jeopardy just to give his friends contracts. And I take issue with that. And I will stand up in defense of the children, in defense of the employees who work for the district, who've been loyal to the district for all these years, to all of a sudden have their sick leave pay taken from them, their vacation taken from them, and their jobs taken from them, only to be outsourced because Francis Slay says that's what he wants.
Rochelle, I'd like your reaction to a statement that was made from the from the mayor's office. It says, it's a very sad situation for Ms. Moore and the children she's supposed to represent. It is evident that she needs professional help. Your response to that?
Well, my response is to that, the reason why I was in the hospital is because of Francis Slay and his cut deals with B.T. Rice, Reverend Nance, the Black Leadership Roundtable, and the Clergy Coalition. What happened to me was a wicked and evil thing, and for them to continue to slander my name, I will pray that whatever he says on me, it will return again into his bosom. Every time he says that, I will pray that it will turn again to his bosom and whoever says it, and whoever asks me about it, because I'm tired of being asked about it. And what happened to me at that hospital was a wicked and evil thing, and I shouldn't have to defend myself for what happened to me. They planned it, they orchestrated, and they tried to destroy my life. And I shouldn't have to defend it every time I'm in an interview. I'm tired of being asked about that. And the more he says it, the more I'm going to pray. And the more I'm going to ask not only my fellow believers to pray, but the Jewish people around this nation who also believe in Deuteronomy to pray. Because if he can do that to African Americans, he can do that to Christians, what's to say he won't do that to Jewish? And they said it. If they said, never again. Never again will we have a Germany. Never again will they have an Auschwitz. We won't have that. And we won't have Francis Slay interfering in a business that's none of his. He has no right to be involved in St. Louis Public Schools. He's a mayor. He's not a board member. And he has no business interfering in my life. He has no business saying any evil about me or anything about me. He doesn't know me. And I take offense to that, and I'm waiting for the day that I can see him face to face to tell him what I really think of him.
Now, Rochelle, what is it exactly that happened on October 22nd?
I was drugged. Basically, I was drugged. I was lied on. And that's not, you know, that's all in the past. I was drugged. I don't even drink. I don't even smoke. An employee named Charlene Jones, I spiked my coffee, came to the hospital and told them that I was paranoid and delusional. On August 12th last year, I went out to dinner with Amy Hilgerman and her husband, and they have something placed in my food, and they sat there and they watched me eat it. So, you know, I take offense to those people. They are wicked, they are ungodly, and they have no fear of God before their eyes.
Now, in your letter, you say it's on several occasions, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts."
That's Deuteronomy.
Yes.
I didn't say it.
You are quoting from the book of Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy 28.
Now, do you claim that this letter speaks for God?
No, that's not a legitimate question. You know, the Word of God is the Word of God itself. And anyone who takes the Word of God and says it and proclaims it is speaking the Word of God. And I'm beginning to doubt who you are in terms of the Word of God and in terms of your position in Christ if you ask me a question like that.
Well, what I'm asking, Rochelle, is you have taken quotations and from the book of Deuteronomy.
And prayed them, just like David.
Yes, you have, mm-hmm. But you have also included the name of Francis Slay and all those who help him.
That's right.
Those words are not in the Bible.
Nope, but they're not in the Bible, but I prayed them on him. And I will take, just like you take what Jesus tells us to do. What did he do to that fig tree? He cursed that fig tree because it didn't do what it was supposed to do. What did God say? He said he would bless those who bless you. That's what he told Abraham, and curse those who curse you. And I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm engrafted into the promise. And so the same promises that Abraham had, I have them too. So whoever curses me, those curses shall return again unto their own bosom. And I take the Bible for what it's worth. And if you don't believe it, I don't have to convince you. I'm not going to debate with you whether it's literally or figuratively meant. I just believe the Word of God is true. And I believe that you cannot mess with God's people and there not be a consequence. They slandered my name, they lied on me, and they continue to slander my name. And the more they slander my name and the more they mock and make fun of the things of God, the more bad things will happen to them. That's
now,
just a promise.
For the sake of our listeners, Rochelle, can you connect the dots between the Bible passages that you quote and you paraphrase in your open letter and the specific actions of the St. Louis School Board and that specifically of Mayor Slay?
I just told you. You're not listening. You know, I do not like to repeat myself. The man is involving himself in issues that he has no business. He is a mayor. He is not a school board member. He does not have any authority over the budget. He brought these people here. He selected the slate. He backed that slate along with Civic Progress, Danforth, and Bob Koff, who were also involved. And they sent these people here to dismantle the district, to close schools, to take away 1,400 jobs, to displace children. And you don't find anything wrong with that? I take issue with that. And if no one else will stand up and defend children, I will.
Now, Rochelle,
so they're mismanaging money. You tell them you're okay with that? If I want to pray until the cows come home, that's my business. I'm going to pray. But I sent that open letter for a position and for my complete disdain and opposition for what they're attempting to do. Francis Slay has no business interfering in the St. Louis public schools. I will pray, but others will take action.
Now, how would you respond, and this is purely hypothetical, Rochelle, but how would you respond if Francis Slay said, look, Rochelle Moore says, thus saith the Lord, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this.
I can't speak for Francis Slay. That's not a good question.
What
if he said? All you need to ask me is about that letter. I can't speak for Francis Slay. And all I can say about him is he is a wicked, ungodly, evil man.
But what if he were to say that...
I can't speak for what he's... Don't ask me what he was saying.
What if he were to say that, God is directing him to do what he's doing?
Well, you know what? We're going to see who answers. He call upon his God, I'll call upon my God. Just like Elijah told those false prophets, you call upon your God, I'll call upon mine, and we'll see who answers.
One final thing. As a fellow Christian, Rochelle, I want you to consider something, and that is that Christians can disagree with what our elected officials do.
But you're not saying about what he did to me on October 22nd. You don't defend that man. That man could have gotten me killed with his actions, what they did in that office and planning. There's no defense of what Francis Slay did on October 22nd.
I am not defending
I don't even
that.
Want to hear it. Don't even ask me a stupid question like that. When you want to talk about my life, I value me. And anybody who tries to destroy me, I'm going to defend myself. And I defend it with prayer. There is no defense of what Francis Slay did, Amy Hilderman did, Charlene Jones did. No defense. And if you want to know why I'm angry about it, I could have died. My name is the one being drug in the dirt, and they're made to be heroes when they are the ones who did this foul, wicked thing.
So as far as you're concerned, the literal curse of God...
Well, you know,
however
you want to say it, that's your business.
Well, I'm asking
you
what you mean.
No, what you read it, and that's what I meant. Whatever is on that paper, I meant it.
Rochelle Moore, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues Etc. Now, that was an interview that we recorded yesterday with Rochelle Moore. I'd like your reaction to her alleged curse from God against St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay. It is open lines for the remainder of this hour. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or if you'd like to respond to something that she had to say in the interview that you just heard, you can feel free to give us a call now during open lines, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, I'd like to complete a thought that I wasn't able to complete in the course of that interview yesterday, and I think it's important to make this clear, I would still ask her to consider this, that Christians can, in all good conscience, disagree with what our elected officials have done purely on the basis that they're wrong or that they're unwise or that they hurt people or that they cost people their jobs or that they harm the welfare of children. We can disagree on that basis without calling down divine curses upon them and without taking Bible passages and sticking that official's name in there as the object of the curse. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I don't know about the allegations of the October 21 and 22, whether or not those are true or not. That has, as I said, that has yet to be shown. However, what instigated this, at least according to Rochelle Moore, what instigated this was a disagreement over an action on the part of an elected official. Now, if it was something that shouldn't have been done, it was not procedurally correct, that's the basis for a Christian to object to it. If it's something that was morally wrong, then let's find the clear passage of Scripture that say this was theft or fraud or something along those lines, and then we can object there as well. Now, what do you think about calling upon God to curse Mayor Francis Slay and all those who help him? Those are the words of Rochelle Moore. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Stan, who's calling from his car. Stan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. I listened to her interview. I really believe her hate has overwhelmed everything, and she's must have a religious background and is trying to rationalize the Bible into her hate. I think she really let it be said when she said she wanted to meet him personally, shows she could really tell him what she thought of him. I think that was the definitive part of the whole interview. Her hate has just overwhelmed her so much, and she, like so many today, want to use parts of God's word for what they want. And it's, we have to do what God wants, not what they want or what we want.
Stan,
thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the call. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. That was one of the questions I asked her in the course of that interview is, you know, connect the dots for me between the curses that are obviously there in the Old Testament. And these are curses that God has pronounced in their context. They are God's word, there's no doubt about that, but when you take the name of Mayor Francis Slay and all those who helped them and put it into the verse and then send it out and say, this is what God says about you, Mayor Francis Slay, then you're in an entirely different endeavor. It's not just simply opening up the Bible and saying, this is what God's word objectively says. Is there a time for Christians to do something like this? Norm is calling from his car. Norm, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. Boy, that lady sounds like a very dangerous lady to me, and really putting a blight upon Christians. And, you know, Jesus said to bless those who curse you and bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who spitefully misuse you and so forth. Not to say that somebody shouldn't be held to account for if they've honestly broken the law and done something wrong. But, I mean, she's not going by New Testament principles at all, and she's pulling something out of the Old Testament that probably shouldn't even be brought into the New Testament. She needs to listen to what Jesus honestly says, and plus the Apostle Paul and others. So that's all I have to say.
Norm, thank you. That's excellent thoughts there. He put it better than I think I could probably put it myself. And all he did was really quote from what Jesus says. Do not return evil for evil. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those. Pray for your enemies. Now, Norm has demonstrated something very important here, and that is that Scripture interprets Scripture. That we never speak one word of Scripture isolated from the rest of what God says. We always attempt to put every time we speak God's word, it is always spoken in the context of the whole counsel of God. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Your reaction to our interview just a few minutes ago with Rochelle Moore, member of the St. Louis School Board, and the woman who has written an open letter to Mayor Francis Slay, detailing an alleged curse from God. Carol is calling from Woodson Terrace. Hi, Carol. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. I think everybody's covering most of what I was going to say. I love the Old Testament. It's all about human nature and about so many truths, but it's not what Jesus said now, you know. And now Jesus is the one that's come to tell us about forgiveness, even the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us and turn the other cheek. I mean, there's so many things that Jesus said, pray for people that hurt you, and it does work.
Now, Carol, I would clarify one thing there that you said, and that
what?
Is, and I don't think you intended to say this, but let me clarify if I could, see if you agree with me. The Old Testament still speaks loud and clear today.
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
It is interpreted via the New Testament. Christ interprets the Old Testament.
Right.
And that doesn't mean we lay aside the curses of God.
No.
In fact, the curses of God are just as much in force today against man's sin as they ever were. But Jesus gives us the means by which we rightly interpret them. In fact, Paul tells us very clearly that God made Jesus to be the curse for us at the cross so that we might be redeemed from the curse. I mean, that's where the curse comes to rest of God. It ultimately comes to rest upon his own son, Jesus Christ, at the cross, which is why Jesus can then say, we need not curse those who harm us or pray ill against our enemies.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think we were supposed to curse people.
I think Rochelle Moore would say, it's not me cursing him, it's God cursing him.
Ooh, that's a scary thing to me.
All right, we'll take a break here, and when we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls, your reaction to this open letter to Mayor Francis Slay, calling the curse of God down upon him and all who help him.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The once proud gospel heritage of American evangelicalism has been lost to cultural compromise and an increasing failure to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In some evangelical churches, Sunday mornings have been reduced to sing-alongs and sanctified self-help. So why are some Lutherans imitating evangelicals? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is called The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel by Craig Parton. You can order The Defense Never Rests by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can order The Defense Never Rests online at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section, and you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, The Defense Never Rests by Craig Parton.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on five girls in India who watched their father get angrier each time another daughter was born. In rural India, families must pay a dowry for their daughters to marry a man. So a poor family who only has girls can be indebted for life. The husband was so furious with his wife after she gave birth to several girls that he burned her to death while the daughters watched in horror, and then the husband eventually became so ill he died. The oldest sister in the family took five of her youngest sisters to find a home at the Ramabai Mukti Mission. The girls moved into a loving home where they're cared for, attend school, and are learning about Christ's love. Pray for these and other girls at Mukti to heal through Christ. Discover the remarkable lives of children in India with a free copy of Mukti Magazine. Call 1-800-268-0461. That's 1-800-268-0461.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. A USA Today CNN poll released last week showed declining support for making homosexual relations between consenting adults legal. Before the Supreme Court decision, 60% favored making such relations legal. Now it's down to 48%. In conflict resolution, it's often helpful to go below the surface debate to identify smaller underlying areas of disagreement. A question for Christians on both sides of the debate is about spiritual authority. Is every word in the Bible to be taken directly, fundamentally, with no interpretation? Or do the teachings of the Bible need to be interpreted in view of other teachings in the Bible? Or is the Bible just a historical document that we consult, but we have to make our own way in this modern time? No time here to go deeper. Just this question. To what authority do you point for your own views on homosexuality? Is your own personal position coming from your own passions, your own perspectives, or demonstrably from God's Word? Have you searched the Scriptures on this, or are you just going with public opinion?
Peace Lutheran Church in South County is an underwriter of Issues Etc. on AM 850 KFUO. Peace Lutheran is located at 737 Barracks View Road in Lima. The Reverend Dennis Castens and Ken Wagoner are the pastors. Their phone number, area code 314-892-5610, 892-5610. Issues Etc. brought to you in part locally by Peace Lutheran Church in South County. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., a two-hour discussion defending the pro-life position. Scott Klusendorf of Stand to Reason will be our guest tomorrow on the program. We're taking your phone calls this hour on the issue of an alleged curse from God leveled by a member of the St. Louis Public School Board against Mayor Francis Slay. At the beginning of this hour, we played a brief interview recorded yesterday with Rochelle Moore, a member of the St. Louis School Board, and the author of this open letter to Mayor Slay that details an alleged curse from God. Your questions, your comments, and your reaction to this during this hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I have a few more thoughts on this, but let's go back to the phones before we get to that. Terry is calling from St. Louis. Terry, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for taking my call. I would just like to say, let's don't leave out, we had a board member who stood up and called people Nazis. Do you remember that statement, sir? That was Vincent Schemel. I didn't appreciate that comment. I don't know if that's God loving or not. But we have a city down here that's racially divided. Until we deal with the word racism, this city will never come together. And we have a mayor by the name of Francis Slay who has divided the city farther and farther apart. Miss Rochelle Moore had every right to say what she said about the mayor, sir. Because we're not going to deal with the racial problem. It's going to get worse and worse. And like I said, what goes around comes around. I know there is a God up there who looks down upon us all. And what makes me so glad, I want to say this, when we put down in 6 feet under, we all will be equal, I'm assuming. But God will have the last say-so over all of us.
I agree with you there.
He will have the last say-so. And like I said, sir, until we deal with the word racism, blacks against whites, we must come together. We don't want to come together. This mayor does not want to bring us together. He wants to tear this city apart, which he's done, and he's done a very good job, sir. He's ripped us all
Terry, I agree that the city is racially divided. There's no doubt about it. I don't know whether Mayor Slay is the one who's made the divide greater or not. I don't watch politics locally closely enough to know for myself. But the issue we're dealing with is not the racial division in St. Louis or the mayor's role or non-role in that. What we're dealing with is taking passages from Deuteronomy out of the Bible that are applied to sins committed in the Old Testament, and they apply, of course, to those same sins today, and whether or not we can take Mayor Francis Slay's name and all those who help him and insert it into those Bible passages and say, here and now, this is what God is saying now. I have no problem with Rochelle Moore or anyone else, you, Terry, disagreeing with what Mayor Slay did or has done. But as I said before, can Christians disagree with what their elected officials do without opening up the Bible, inserting that elected official's name into the curses enumerated in the Old and the New Testament, and saying this is what God is saying right now because of what they've done? I mean, isn't there a basis for disagreeing that doesn't require us to open up the Bible and utter divine curses? And as raised by earlier callers, Jesus does say, pray for those who, not pray against, but pray for those who persecute you. Bless your enemies. Right? Now, that doesn't mean that God's curses against sin are no longer in force. In fact, Christians ought to pronounce the curse of God upon individuals or actions which God has cursed. And the only question at play here is, based upon what Mayor Slay did, is it right for Christians to pronounce God's curse on him in particular? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Debbie is calling from Bethalto. Debbie, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. That was very disturbing. I felt very sorry for the lady. God only knows what's happened and what's going through. I'm not from around there, so I don't know the politicals of everything, but something that I was washing dishes and came to my mind was something about, heaping burning coals on a head. So I looked it up in my Bible. You know, in Romans 12:17, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. But do not overcome evil by evil. And, and that's what she's letting that anger, I think, just eat at her instead of maybe rallying with some people to go and to talk. And that's real sad.
Debbie, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Scripture interpreting scripture, right? Mike is calling from Pittsburgh. Mike, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. I was wondering a couple of things. First of all, doesn't the Bible say that if you have a problem with someone, you go with to them one-on-one, and if that doesn't work, you go with two or more, and then if that doesn't work, you do go public, but it didn't say anything about cursing. Secondly, doesn't the Bible also say, do not curse, because if you curse wrongly, it'll come back to you tenfold?
Well, okay, on the first one, I don't know that Rochelle Moore hasn't gone to Mayor Slay personally. I don't know that she hasn't done that. She may well have done that, so I can't answer that question. Yes, Scripture does certainly say, Matthew 18, that if your brother sins against you, go to him alone, just the two of you, and show him his fault. If he repents, you have won your brother. And then, of course, it has the next phase, if he does not repent. Now, one might argue that it's different if someone does something, a public sin, and there certainly is an allowance for open public sin within the church, and a place for the church to talk about the public sins of public people, of course. Now, on your second point, I don't know of a Bible passage that says if you curse wrongly, it will return to you tenfold. I'm a little suspicious of... I know of no passage that speaks in that way. Thank you for the call, though. Sounds a little bit like Christian karma to me. Sheila is calling from her car. Sheila, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Pastor. I've been believing, my thought on it is, not that I agree with anything that's going on, but that's not the issue right now, is the Bible verse that I think of is, let he who is blameless cast the first stone. That judgment is in God's hands, not ours. So I don't believe the cursing is what he is saying we should do there.
Sheila, thank you very much. Now, I don't want to stray here into away from a point that I just made a few minutes ago, and that is, there is a place for Christians to pronounce the curse of God where God has clearly spoken a curse over actions or individuals, where God has clearly spoken. Here's a great example. First chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. He says, and he tells us who is accursed. He says, and I'm picking up here at verse 8. If we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. I've said it before, I say it again. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Now there, Paul very clearly pronounces the curse of God upon individuals and actions. Now, should a Christian be able to pronounce that curse upon those who preach another gospel? Yes. In fact, they really don't have an option as to whether or not to do that. God has declared that those who preach another gospel are accursed. A gospel other than the one, Paul says, that you receive, that one which is Paul preaches so often in his epistles, that there is salvation by grace through faith for the sake of Jesus Christ alone. That this is a salvation that is apart from works. It is God's work from the beginning to end. It is centered in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel Paul preached. And Paul says, think of all the evil, wicked deeds that Paul has to deal with in the course of his letters to all the churches. He reserves the explicit curse of God, as far as I can tell, there may be a few others, only for those who preach a false gospel. Then he says, then we start talking curses. Everything else is a call for repentance. So here is an example where Scripture does clearly say this is who is under the curse of God, those who preach a false gospel other than the one that we have received. That doesn't give us carte blanche just simply to take the curse of God and write someone's name in for whatever purpose we think we ought to write it in for. If we disagree with them, what they've done in the school board or what they've done in the president's office, oh, that means we can just open up the Bible, write in their name and whatever they've done, and voila, we've got the curse of God? That's the question for you. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Tina is calling from Webster Groves. Tina, welcome to Issues Etc.
How are you, Todd?
I'm doing well.
Well, she is one of my employers since I'm a school nurse. And I just am very disappointed in it. And I think because I can't preach the gospel with words, but I can definitely speak the gospel with action. And part of that is to say that hate is easy, but love takes courage. My major concern, however, is I think she's speaking from a place of fear as opposed to love.
Tina, I have a question for you. Okay, you are an employee of the St. Louis School Board.
Right.
Let's say for the sake of argument, and I don't really care whether you do or not, but let's say for the sake of argument, you completely disagree with what Mayor Francis Slay did in hiring a consultant, and then it led to the firing of 1,400 people and the closing of more than a dozen schools. You completely disagree with that. As
right.
a Christian,
right.
and as one who's really involved in this, maybe you could even lose your job,
right.
how would you go about, even publicly, disagreeing with that action?
Well, it is public being on your radio right now. And to oppose the act, as a Christian, I just have to stand up and I have to, in my way, the way that I feel the Lord is leading me, into make opposition to it. But right now, making opposition to it doesn't mean that I have to be part of the problem, which means opposition, direct opposition and confrontation. And what the Lord is telling me right now is to be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
All right, Tina, thank you very much. Now, this is not exactly what I was looking for. I mean, I'm hoping for someone who could tell me, if you disagree with this, how should a... We know, okay, we've got it established. People have already called in and said, you don't curse your enemies. This is clear from Scripture. You don't take a Bible passage out of context, write someone's name in there in their offense, and say, here's the curse of God. God has spoken. How does a Christian disagree with the actions of elected officials, even publicly? I will give you my thoughts on that at the end of the hour. Let's go to the phones again. John is calling from Alton. John, welcome.
Yes, I'm calling from Alton here. What I understood on the Rochelle, that she was, you kind of jumped one thing over, sir. She told you about how she prayed about it. Now, in my experiences in 19 years of being a reborn Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, when you pray about something, the Lord's going to answer you, okay? Bible also says that we're to be anxious for nothing but only but by prayer and supplication, letting our thanks be known, letting our requests be known unto God. But, you know, what I totally agree with the caller came from Bethaldo, the lady on that. Now, she was being guided by the Spirit to say that. I felt that in my spirit, okay? Your question is, can a Christian disagree?
No, the question is, how does a Christian disagree?
Okay.
That's the question.
Okay. A Christian can disagree publicly in prayer, taking a petition to the Lord by prayer and through other means. Yes, they can disagree by that. The thing is, this is spiritual warfare. The people that did these things to Rochelle, they didn't do it on their own. I believe they're wicked, but they can't help it because they're not saved. They don't know Jesus.
But, John, I'm going to let you go. We do not know for a fact that these things were done. She alleges that they were done to her. Now, here's a real simple solution. What do you do if you say someone's drugged me on several occasions? Take it to the authorities that God has put in place to deal with this kind of wrongdoing. Go to the police, the prosecutor. You can allege all you want, but God has given us ministers to bear the sword, and they don't bear it in vain. Look, what if I'll just take up John's point there. What if Francis Slay said, look, I prayed fervently about whether or not I should hire a consultant, and I prayed fervently about whether or not I should listen to that consultant, and God answered, and he said, listen to the consultant. Close the schools. Lay off the workers. There's got to be something more than just I prayed about it, and then I just kind of felt down deep in my intestines that it was the right thing to do. One thing Christians should be most wary of in this world is our endless capacity to deceive ourselves and to convince ourselves that what we pray about or what we think we want is what God wants. That's no sound basis for making any kind of decision. Well, I prayed about it, and then I just had kind of got a feeling. Yes, God will answer. Will you listen to the answer? Where will he answer you? Only clearly in his word. Not the word you hear speaking to you in the dark of the night or that you feel rumbling around in your stomach. The word of Holy Scripture. That's where he clearly speaks. And nowhere else can you trust what is being said. Nowhere else. Jim is calling from Florissant. Jim, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. I don't even know where to begin with this, but I'll give a couple of quick comments. One, it is clear in Scripture. I hope that everyone out there who is a Christian knows, and if there's any unsaved, unreached in Christ, that they know we do not hate. Jesus has taught us to pray for our enemies and pray for those who treat you spitefully, not call down curses on them. I am an African-American male myself, and I feel that what Ms. Moore did is very distasteful. It's a shame, and it is just another way in which Christ's name can be dragged through the mud unbelievers or anyone else. You know, I think what you should have did is more or less took this to the Lord in prayer herself, and as you said also, you know, if she really felt that she had a case against Mr. Slay, she should have went to the authorities. That's pretty much my comment on that.
Jim, thank you very much for the call and for your patience. Darlene is up next. She's calling from St. Louis. Darlene, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Doing well, Darlene.
I'm so glad. And I'm thankful that you're having this conversation. You know what? I say for Rochelle Moore, go, 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 girl. In part, I would agree and disagree with her, but in part, I would also agree and disagree with some of your callers about the St. Louis racial division, because I have found that the racial division is not just a white thing, but also a black thing. And also I comment about how does a Christian disagree? I agree that we can do it publicly through prayer and peaceful public demonstration, letters to our officials, and calls to our officials. And Pastor Todd, thank you. That's all I have to say.
All right. Do we say, thus saith the Lord, though? You see the point here? I mean, the point being, I can call Francis Slay's office and say, I completely disagree with what the mayor did. And to be honest with you folks, I don't relish the idea of 16 schools closing and 1,400 people losing their jobs and benefits. That doesn't make me very happy. I don't know all the details, but my initial gut reaction is it doesn't seem like a good idea. But let's say I had all the details and I had every reason in the world to disagree. Here's the basic question, and this is going to seem a little harsh to some of you, but I really think this is the basic question. When a Christian puts pen to paper, publicly or privately, and does what Rochelle Moore did and says, thus says the Lord, so-and-so is cursed with the curse of God because of the closing of 16 schools and the loss of jobs for 1,400 people. Is she taking the Lord's name in vain? There's that little matter of the second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God has given us his name, and a misuse of his name is whenever we use God's name for a purpose other than which he has given it to us. Paul says that those who preach another gospel are accursed. And he's not just saying it's his own personal curse, it's his voodoo hex. He's saying they are accursed of God for preaching a false hope to the people of God and to those who still need to hear the true hope. Paul there gives us an excellent example of someone who is using God's name rightly. God's name can rightly be used to curse where God has said the curse lies, but nowhere else. I cannot take the curses of God and simply fill in the blanks of people and actions and say, now the Lord is speaking against Francis Slay. If there were, this is as simple as it is, if there were a clear word of God that said either Francis Slay is cursed, or there was a clear word of God in Holy Scripture, and I'm not talking again about that word of God that people think they're hearing in the midst of their dreams or their meditations. Because how is that any more certain than just the Buddhist who thinks he hears from God from deep within his own soul? The clear scriptural word of God. If there were a clear scriptural word of God that says elected officials should not cost people their jobs for any reason whatsoever, or Francis Slay shall not close schools, something like that, then we would be obligated to speak where God speaks. Where God speaks clearly, we must speak. Where God remains silent, doesn't leave us free to fill in the blanks. We must remain silent. This is what it means to respect the name of God. This is what it means to rightly use the name of God. This is what it means to hold fast to Holy Scripture and not go beyond what is written. The first thing I thought when I read Rochelle Moore's letter, her open letter, was, you know, if she's consistent in what she says in this letter and what she says about this letter, and you heard the interview yourself, she would, and I would like to have asked her this question, but I didn't have the opportunity. She would have to say that what she has written here, it's right in front of me, belongs in the Bible. That this should be taped in, I don't know where you'd put it, maybe back in the Deuteronomy section or appended at the end or something, but she says it is God's Word. Therefore, at least the way I understand God's Word, we have to say it belongs in the Bible. If thus saith the Lord, Francis Slay and all those who help him are really cursed with a curse because of what they did, what they were alleged to have done in October, what they did in the school board meetings. If that is thus saith the Lord, it belongs in the Bible. It's exasperating, isn't it, to hear Christians say, I believe in the Bible, I believe what the Bible says, and then to sit down and pen their own new page of scriptures, in essence. When we say we believe what the Bible says, that means we neither ignore what it says nor add to it. In fact, oh, there's another curse that Christians are free to pronounce. It's found at the very end of Scripture, spoken by Jesus himself. And it's an explicit curse. It's a curse against those who would take away or add from the prophecy of this book. Here are the verses. And maybe this is a good way to end it off with what God really does curse. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, anyone who adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words in this book of the prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. Now there's a clear blessing and curse that God has spoken over those who would add or take away. And those who are in the process of doing it, repent of this sin, use the name of the Lord as God has intended his name to be used, to speak only where he speaks and where he does not speak, to remain silent.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.